And welcome everybody to Off the Hook Overtime here on YouTube, which we will shortly verify that we are actually broadcasting on, or transmitting on, or whatever the right word is. Kyle, you seem to have made it successfully.
You seem very confident. You just give me a chance to speak up.
No, I'm pretty surprised, actually.
I'm here.
All right, good. We're all happier for that. Looks like Robin Gila, looks like you made it in Skype land. Everything okay out there?
We did, and we're sounding good on YouTube.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
And greetings to the 19 people who are here hanging with us at the moment.
Uh-huh.
We're glad you're here, and apparently we just lost 5 of them. That's not at all depressing. And it's back up.
Yeah, I don't know if you can count on those numbers. I just don't know if those numbers are accurate. Wow. And, of course, hello to all the people in the future listening to us, because you don't have to listen to us live. You can listen to us anytime you want, years from now, decades from now. Those hours just fly by, don't they? I feel like we just started on the air, and now here we are online. I guess we can remind people here as well that we need people to support BAI so that we can stay on the air there. And if we don't raise $350 in a month, which is nothing compared to those fundraising shows. Remember those fundraising shows we used to do that were so intense? You know, we'd be at the station, there'd be a room full of volunteers down the hallway, and we'd have all kinds of, like, premiums we'd bring in, and it was just a lot of running back and forth. But, yeah, we brought in quite a bit, and there's no reason we can't do that again. But right now, all we're asking for is people pledge a certain amount, gets us to $350 a month, and we keep our show. That's what matters. So 212-209-2950 to pledge anything, and give2wbai.org is the website where you can choose something to be rewarded with your generous pledge. You can also become a BAI buddy, pledge a certain amount per month, which adds up to a bigger amount per year, and get to the $350 that way. So, yeah, please spread the word. Go ahead, Gita.
I would like to just point out that, yes, we are doing this now really on our own steam, but as a reminder, nights we're not on the radio station, we don't do overtime. If the radio show goes away, this does too. So even if you don't live in the WBAI catchment area, even if you're not listening to us live over the airwaves, you might want to consider becoming a BAI buddy or supporting the radio station, because if we go away, this does too. And also, again, the BAI buddy program is amazing. It's Ron Popeil-like. You can just set it and forget it and keep that support coming, which is great. And we're not taking donations to the YouTube channel, but thanks for playing.
Is that what people are doing, donating to the YouTube channel? I mean, how would you do that? How would that work?
I don't know, but we did. Rebel suggested he'd like to donate $1,000 to the YouTube channel.
Okay, well, take him up on that. Rebel, you've committed, and that's $1,000 you now owe us.
And, Rebel, if you give that to the station, I think we're covered for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know what? If you do $350 a month for the next 3 months, that's a little more than $1,000, but we don't have to ask for money if you do that.
And Rebel becomes a hero. And I think that's good for everybody. So thank you, Rebel. Don't make us chase you down. All right. We had some other stories that we were interested in talking about. That OpenAI and New York Times, that is going to be interesting as that advances through the courts. You hear the story, though, about the in Spokane. Did I say it right, Kyle? Spokane, right?
Yeah.
It's spelled Spokane, but you're not supposed to say it that way. You're supposed to say Spokane. Is that okay? I just want to get it right. I hate pissing people off in different states. So, yeah, this comes from Spokane. Wednesday morning, people driving near Audubon Park were greeted by a sign that said angry raccoons ahead. According to the Spokane Public Works Public Information Officer, the Public Works Public Information Office, that's two publics in the title, Kirsten Davis, the keyboard compartment of the construction sign was left unlocked. Okay, we just gave out the hack right there. We just gave you a 0 day. The construction, the keyboard compartment of the construction sign was left unlocked, and that is how you take advantage of this vulnerability. This allowed someone to access it and change the sign. Davis tells KREM Channel 2 that they do not know who the person is. It ended up being a lighthearted way to remember how important it is to lock down the devices, Davis said. The construction sign has been fixed and changed back to its intended message. Now, this is a nice, calm hacking story where everything sort of went back to the way it was and nobody was in prison for 62 years. Somebody figured out how to open an unlocked door and change a message using a keyboard, and the people who run the thing noticed the message was changed and realized they should lock the door and even refer to it as a lighthearted way of reminding them to do this. And everybody went about their lives, and we may never know who the person was who did this. You know, you might call it a boring story, but there's no lawyers involved, there's no prison cells involved, there's no permanent records or anything like that. Just, you know, good old-fashioned hack, showing a vulnerability and learning from it and moving on. Even though we reported this exact same story 20 years ago, and people don't seem to know how to lock doors anymore, but I learned something from it.
Yeah, it's quite refreshing. It's a nice little it's a feel good story about somebody getting a nice cute little prank across and the pranky learning from it and moving forward.
I'm not sure I would have used raccoons. I might have done something a bit more dramatic, you know, like dinosaurs or I don't know, something a little different, but. Yeah, whatever works. What else we got here? This is one of our listeners named Troy who sent us this story about the Georgia Attorney General who claims that not having a phone makes you a criminal. Did you know this? Yeah, you learn something new every day by just reading the papers. The ubiquity of smartphones is causing some to pine for simpler times when we didn't have the entire history of humankind's knowledge at our fingertips on devices that tracked our every move. There's a growing trend, particularly among young people, to use non-smartphones or basic phones. The reasons range from aesthetic to financial to concern for mental health. But according to Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr, having a basic phone or a phone with no data on it or no phone at all in the year 2024 is evidence of criminal intent. The Attorney General's position poses grave dangers for all Georgians' constitutional rights. And this is an article by Samantha Hamilton of the Georgia Recorder, who goes on to say last month Deputy Attorney General John Fowler argued in state court that mere possession of a basic cell phone indicates criminal intent to commit conspiracy under Georgia's Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Statute, better known as RICO. His accusation was directed at 19-year-old Ayla King, one of 61 people indicted last summer on the RICO charges linked to protests in the South River Forest, where the $109 million Atlantic Public Safety Training Center, which is nicknamed Cop City by its opponents, is slated to be built. They're throwing everything they can at these people, including bullets. The RICO charges against King and the 60 other RICO defendants have been widely criticized as a political prosecution running contrary to the First Amendment, and King is the first of these defendants to stand trial. And it's just these bizarre claims that they are making just speaks of desperation on their part. During the January 8th hearing in Fulton County Superior Court, Fowler argued that a cell phone in King's possession on the day of their arrest, which he characterized as a burner phone, should be admissible as evidence of wrongdoing, even though it contained no data. He went even further to suggest that not possessing a cell phone at all also indicates criminal intent. Judge Kimberly Adams agreed to admit evidence of King's cell phone. Now, civil liberties groups, as you might expect, are decrying the Attorney General's argument and court's action, as violations of constitutional rights under the First Amendment and Fourth Amendment. In an open letter to Attorney General Carr, the groups wrote, "It is alarming that prosecutors sworn to uphold the Constitution would even make such arguments, let alone that a sitting judge would seriously entertain them and allow a phone to be searched and potentially admitted into evidence without any indication that it was used for illegal purposes." So, yeah, wow. Not having a cell phone makes you a criminal in the eyes of some.
Well, go ahead.
Sorry. It's not only not having a cell phone, but, like, the very act of having a simple cell phone that is not smart. The phone itself is not a smartphone, not saying anything about the person. But the fact that having a featureless phone like that itself is an act of suspicion, that throws up and I think disproportionately affects people in, say, disadvantaged communities, lower-income individuals, the exact individuals who are already disproportionately harassed by the police, the courts, and our entire prison industrial complex. So this is disturbing on many levels.
Good, Kyle.
Well, I find this interesting, and it makes me think of the kinds of the ways that people might try to work around policies like this in the future, because it really does. I mean, the idea is really nonsensical to us that, right, like not having a phone, like maybe you have a phone, but you don't have it on you. Like that's potentially a crime, I guess, is what these kinds of things might implicate.
You forgot your phone. That's a crime.
Sure. Right. Like, because, you would want to have deniability and not, produce evidence that would otherwise, become scrutinized if you were taken into custody and it was found on you. So even like, though you have a phone, you're out and you don't have one on you, and that's maybe an added charge, is I guess what they're trying to do, or that this is a part of a conspiracy in that many people sort of in this group didn't own these sorts of devices, which in the article it's pointed out as an overall trend, which is I think a great reaction, probably a healthy reaction, as was listed, mm-hmm. but in this group for an action against a very large training facility, it's used as an indicator of like if were they to all be wearing a certain color or you know some kind of unified characteristic that defines them as sorts of criminals in the eyes of the prosecutors here, which is really stupid because, right, like a tire iron or, you know, any kind of thing could be assembled and thrown at you like this. Whereas, you know, it's a preference. There are many people that don't understand these other phones. And the thing I wanted to get to really is that I think people would try to counter this kind of thing if it was taken seriously, because I don't think it is, with things like emulating smartphones. In other words, having forms of communication that are not, but you could just as easily mimic the behavior of such a device. And I think there's lots of ways to mime, you know, kind of pantomime the activity of a smartphone user in a future that is so dystopian. I don't know if that was sort of where you were thinking, Rob, but it just... Like, imagine a group that's using business radios, like valet parking or, I don't know, a production company or something. They're communicating. Are they somehow criminals, right? They're not committing crimes. Maybe they're allowing vehicles to park in certain ways or something. But they're using communication protocols outside of smartphones. Maybe they don't have smartphones. And so it just becomes this thing of... associating behaviors and ways of using technology with certain types of people or behaviors. I mean, imagine if everyone's communicating by light and somehow light is detected and that makes them all criminals because photons were picked up by sensors.
I think in this case, the authorities are frustrated by the fact that they didn't have devices that had evidence on them, and they're charging them with covering up evidence because the evidence wasn't there because they didn't have a phone. And damn it, they should have had a phone because right. that makes it easy for us. It's like you know, okay, you're basically tracking down this criminal conspiracy, and for some reason they have meetings, and the secretary is supposed to take notes, you know, minutes of the meeting, and they didn't do that. And the fact that the secretary didn't take minutes means that there's a conspiracy and they committed a crime by not taking minutes. It's as absurd as that. You know, you don't have a cell phone, that means that you're up to something. I have a landline. What does that make me? You know? I think more people are becoming aware of just how harmful cell phones can be in various ways in certain wow. circumstances. So, you know, it's and they're expensive as hell, too. A lot of people can't afford them.
Can you be charged with not using fingerprints?
I don't know. I'm sure if you try and disguise your fingerprints, yeah, I'm sure there's something.
No, I just don't want to use them. I'm not disguising them.
Maybe you don't want to use them.
I turn that feature off.
Okay, yeah. We'll talk later. It's not how. Okay, go ahead, Rob. You go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just taking this to the dystopian extreme. Like, how far is this from the law just out and out saying, you know, carrying around a tracking device with intimate connections to all your social and technological aspects of your life is compulsory?
Yeah. That's pretty much what we're doing here.
Totally, yeah. Like, you must have a tracking device. I mean, it's funny. I mean, it might as well be strapped to your ankle. I mean, if with this logic, you know, like maybe a bit of tape or something, and you just strap that puppy right to your leg. But it's, I mean, I just when you get to that point, it's going to become a situation where randomization and cloning and sort of emulation technologies. I just love the idea of people messing with this. Just basically saying, oh, okay, that's what you want to do. Well, then here. And just tons of like fake activity to give them exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, fine. You know, I find that like that might incentivize like the back, I guess, backlash or backfiring sort of on the scheme they want to prove this in a legislative way or otherwise. I just behaviorally people will avoid these things and it's already a hellscape under legal terms because of the way a lot of the software and service providers treat their app users and their right. customers already,
right.
let alone the carriers, and now you're saying that this overall is a way to characterize you as an individual just because you want to avoid stuff that's victimizing you as a customer.
You don't even know that, Kyle. You don't even know they're trying to avoid. They just don't have a cell phone. So
yeah.
You know, just, you can't make these assumptions and say because you don't have a cell phone, you're doing this or you're up to this or you want that. It's ridiculous how people live their damn lives.
I don't know, yeah. And if you use it more and more to criminalize people, you're going to get more and more people avoiding it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be self-fulfilling. It's like, oh, another nail, says the hammer. Right.
All right, we have a letter from another listener, initials H.A. Hi, guys, not sure. This is from late February. Not sure if this is of interest to your show, but one of our big universities here in Canada was apparently hacked in some way a week ago, bringing down their site, email, and other systems at Laurentian's site. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It shows that even as of today, the majority of systems are still offline. I'm trying to avoid including direct links so this doesn't go to spam. Wow, really? People are worried about sending links because then, I guess Google does that. They send things to spam if they don't like the links that you include in your email. We've experienced that, but we don't use Gmail, so you can send whatever links you want to us, and we'll decide as humans what's good and what's not. Anyway, the story can be found at the CBC. If you Google Laurentian Cyber Incident, and I'll spell that Laurentian, an interesting part of the story is that in 2017, a student tried to reveal vulnerabilities in their systems to warn them, and they were arrested and sentenced to 12 months probation for mischief. Typical. Typical. I've been an avid listener and reader for years. Enjoy the show. Other than Emmanuel rambling about vaccines. All right, hold on a second. Just one second here. I don't ramble. I'm pretty direct, all right? I will say, get your damn vaccine. And up there in Canada, you should know, you have a measles outbreak, which you're blaming on Florida, which is fine because they're probably responsible. But this anti-vax sentiment, which is spreading around, is unhealthy. And literally unhealthy and will hurt a lot of people. So that's all I say. I say get your vaccines because they work. Scientists know what they're doing and you don't blindly follow, but you also, you know, you have to use logic sometimes. And sometimes you wind up agreeing with people you don't want to agree with. It happens, right? All right.
You can alternate arms, too.
How does that help?
I'm just saying you have options.
You think that's why people are refusing vaccines, because they don't want one arm to be...
Well, they don't get enough information. They think, like, they're going to get 50 shots in one place.
Why is it always in your arm? Why can't they do it in your leg?
Because it's near your...
Yeah, but it'll get there eventually. You know? It's like taking the local instead of the express.
I am not a pharmacist.
No, you are not. You are not a pharmacist.
Why are you asking me?
Well, because you're sitting right here. That's why. See, we do question. We do ask questions.
If your arm is sore...
This is not rambling.
And you're going to get maybe two vaccines because you forgot to get your measles shot.
I got three vaccines at once last year. Remember that? I got flu, I got COVID, and I got shingles.
And then you
get... Boy, did my arm smart.
That measles one in one arm. Then you could switch and maybe get your whooping cough.
Oh, whooping cough. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you're... I don't know, around
but,
a lot
you know,
of unsanitary
things. This is a crazy
things.
Thing. People
yeah.
are talking about diseases that have been eradicated, and they're coming back now
well, it's
because people are refusing science.
They're
and
not
just,
mindful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So be mindful of, you know,
it's
get,
like,
get one every now and
no,
then.
It's just,
you know?
You feel like you're just shouting into the wind. Like, my God, people, we've learned these lessons already. Don't you see? It's like, you know, the equivalent would be, if I could just theorize for a second, let's say like a fascist regime was on the horizon, right? And I know, it's crazy. But if you were like there saying... You know, my God, people, we have to stop this. All we have to do is show up and not vote for it. You know, it's unbelievable, yeah. But, yeah, we don't ramble. We don't ramble. And take the damn vaccine. Continuing here. Reminds me, I saw a legit phone booth in the middle of nowhere here up in Canada, by the way, last summer. I forgot to submit a picture of that, though I don't know if you still do that on your back covers. It's been a while since I grabbed an issue. Well, okay, just one more correction here, not to be nitpicky. But it's not the back cover. It's the inside back cover and the inside front cover. It was on the back cover at one point, like way decades ago, it was on the back cover. Then one day we realized, hey, you know what? We're paying for color on the back. We can also print color on the other side of that page and double the number of pages that have payphone photos. And ever since then, boy, those payphone photos have been pouring in. And we have the back cover photos as well and the front cover. And that's the color pages in 2600 magazine that we obsess over.
Well, I would say there are a lot of really artistic stuff that are included in those pages, and when we do the other editions, we can make much larger full page versions.
Mm-hmm.
We really enjoy a lot of the kinds of things people are finding all over the world still.
It's incredible.
So it's amazing. It's just funny to us, I think, to hear, oh, yeah, are you still doing that? Well, I mean, yeah, if you find the magazine somewhere or want to subscribe, you can find out for yourself and see large or small all the different ways and they're featured and organized, which is, it's usually pretty funny. There's different categories. I think we've done like artistic phones recently.
Oh, there's so many from a particular region of the world, particular style, particular position or some other similarity. But the
you
funny
learn
thing
about
is,
the world. You the learn
really,
about the world.
The really funny thing is that this is a technology that supposedly is dying or dead. And yet it is by far the most popular part of the magazine as far as a number of submissions we get per quarter. It's payphones and payphone booths and broken payphones and working payphones and unusual payphones and all sorts of things like that. And, you know, it just makes me realize that all these things that we're told over and over again, oh, that's dead, it's going away, it's not coming back. You know, we're a printed magazine, and we're broadcasting on the radio. Those are two things that supposedly are dead, but yet we continue to do both, and they continue to be hugely popular. You know, there are just so many instances like that. Vinyl records. I just heard yesterday the demand for vinyl is up again for like the sixth year in a row, or maybe even longer than that. That was supposedly dead. You know, and bookstores are reopening all around the country because the chains went out of business after they drove the independent bookstores out of business, and people decided, hey, we want bookstores back. So all over, you're seeing independent bookstores start opening. So don't believe when people tell you, oh, this is dead, this is a trend, this is right, this is wrong. It's never black and white like that. Rob, then Kyle.
Just to go back to what this listener was writing to us about, for folks interested, the Laurentian University website, laurentian.ca, the whole front page is just post after post after post every day since this information security incident started on February 18th up till today. And it's just, here's all the stuff that's going wrong. Here's all the people affected. And it's really kind of a fascinating read for people interested in information security. The latest one is talking about these people who were affected and how the university is providing credit monitoring systems, service, for a couple of years because your identities might be stolen, things like that. It's quite a scroll, and then there's a little bar on top that links to if you just want information on how to enroll at the university.
And what's that website again?
It's laurentian.ca. That's L-A-U-R-E, N as in Nancy, T-I-A, N as in Nancy, .ca.
Cool. But this is amazing. We're facing technical challenges across multiple information technology services. Here are the FAQs. Hey, do you want to come to school here?
You know, it's more fast. Where are they, by the way? What part of Canada?
It would appear to be Quebec because the website is in English and French.
You do know that the one bilingual province of Canada is where? No, it's not Quebec.
It's not?
It's New Brunswick. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And they speak French in the West as well. And just because and Quebec province is huge, so could be Montreal, could be Quebec. I'm sure it says somewhere on the website where they are.
It's just about. It doesn't say,
really.
So much of this is just about this incident, and
it's in Ontario.
Oh, okay.
There you go. You see, you never assume, but Ontario is still just a province, so we don't know what city.
Our open house is offered on campus in Sudbury.
Sudbury, okay, there you go. I've been to Sudbury, nice little town. Go ahead, Kyle, you were next.
Well, I just wanted to point out what was I going to say?
Only you know that.
We changed subjects.
That's right, Rob kind of steered us in a different direction. I was talking about...
Oh, the payphones. I was just going to say that it's a great way to learn about different telephone companies. And, I mean, even if some of the payphones aren't as prevalent, you can really, like, after a while, you gain this understanding of all the different types of phones, just sort of, off the top of your head, kind of. Like, it becomes kind of... ubiquitous, the different types, and you can recognize them if you do travel around. And that's where a lot of the contributions come from, is people traveling around and saying, hey, I'll send this in. But learning about the different phone companies that are active around the world, you really can kind of go on some trips with people, and our captions always really give it a little bit of context and stuff. But I really like that unintended thing of, like, really learning about all the different phone companies around the world through the payphone submissions.
You know what else is unintended? We veered in two completely different directions based on that one letter alone, talking about payphones and then talking about hacked universities and just going on about, you know what, we do ramble. We do ramble. And so, okay, you know what? Guilty. I guess we are. That's what we do sometimes. What we haven't done is give out a phone number, 802-321-4225. The phone is installed, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. You too may ramble. No. Actually, don't ramble.
You may not ramble.
That is not an invitation to ramble.
Especially Rebel, you may not ramble.
But the phone line is available.
802-321-HACK is our phone number. Country
if
code
you
1.
Never call before, what's that number again?
It's country code 1, area code 802, exchange 321, extension 4225. So 802-321-HACK is our phone number.
So 321-HACK your way to us, and we will pick up your call. Looks like I have a regular caller on the line.
I don't know what that means. I still don't know why I couldn't hear the bell. Do you have the bell turned off? I think you must, because that was
in
very quiet.
Here it is.
Okay, as long as you can hear it, that's what matters. You're the switchboard operator. We have a call on the line, though.
Try it. Maybe it's messed up.
You want to hack your way to us?
I hear us. Is there a person there?
Oh, hi. Let me turn down my radio.
He fooled you. This is not a regular call, Kyle. This is an irregular call.
Yes,
okay.
So they're talking about payphone. Remember when I told you about the payphone in Rockefeller Center? The
yes.
only payphone that I fixed, it doesn't work anymore. No dial tone. And when I called the number that was on it, it says the number is disconnected.
Okay. First of all, you haven't been able to call a payphone for incoming calls in New York City in decades. So
it was one of those Coca type.
Even those, they would never really answer. You might get a computer that spits out dollars or something.
If it worked, it would have answered, but it just gave you a recording saying it doesn't work.
So you found a payphone in New York City that doesn't work. Wow, that's something.
Right. I don't know about the one uptown on like the Upper West Side, the one that has like the Canadian phone booth, the one in like West End Avenue and like 66th Street or whatever it is.
You say that like any of us would know what you mean. A Canadian phone booth?
I don't know about that. It's a phone booth. It's like one of the only phone booths in New York City. But it's a Canadian-type phone booth.
Why would there be a Canadian phone booth in New York City?
I don't know. It's one of those Canadian types. I don't know. Not the regular Dell operating company types.
So it's a Northern Telecom phone is what you're saying? Because that's
no, it's not a Northern Telecom phone. It's a regular 9X. Well, it was a 9X.
So what makes it Canadian? What makes it Canadian then?
No, the phone booth, the actual phone booth. It was an actual phone booth with a door and everything. But it's not the U.S. type.
Well, what's different about a Canadian phone booth than an American phone booth?
I don't know. You know what? Maybe I'll just take a picture of it.
Maybe you should. Yes, take a picture so we can discuss this intelligently.
Now, I'd like to know, if I have call waiting, and to not get call waiting, I dial *70 when I call someone. But if somebody calls me, and I don't want to get another phone call, what do I do?
Okay, so, Rebel, you receive a phone call, all right? Let's say that happens. You realize this is a phone call that I don't want to miss a second of. So, but you're going to have to miss a second of it because you're going to have to hit flash on your phone and get another dial tone so that you can dial *70 at that point. But that only works if you subscribe to three-way calling from Verizon. If you don't and you hit that flash thing, you might hang up on the person that you don't want to miss a second of.
Oh, really? Is that the way you do it?
That's how I remember it being done. I haven't done that in a long time, but I believe that's how it works. Maybe somebody in another part of the country can verify that.
Okay. Now, I didn't get...
Actually, we can try it right now. Do we have three-way on this line, Kyle? Are we going to try it right now? Just hit flash on the phone. Why? Will that disconnect him? You seem hesitant.
Let's see.
It's a digital system. It's not going to work.
Oh, because
I could
digital,
try. You know what? I would take great joy in trying this very quickly. So, caller.
Well, I'll just pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. And
no, see, I would have to do it on the device, the interface.
Right. I know it's interface right now. But if you pick up the phone, you will be talking directly to Rebel, right? Why don't you just verify that right now? Okay. So he's picked up the phone, Rebel is no longer on the board, but he's on the phone, right?
It's a great phone. Just hold on, Rebel.
Okay, so you're talking to Rebel directly. So now just hit the switch hook just for a second.
There's a flash
just
button.
Really quickly, and then go back. Did you get a dial tone or a pulsating dial tone?
Dial tone.
Was it a pulsating dial tone?
Pulsating.
Dial *70 now. What do you get? Is Rebel back?
Hello.
Is Rebel back?
Hello. We got another dial tone.
You got another? Isn't it the same dial tone? What's the difference?
I don't know. Should I hit the flash again?
Sure, why not?
Hello?
You got him back. How'd you get two dial tones? All right, so hang the damn thing up so we'll get him back.
Yeah, he's here.
All right. Is he up on the board?
Should be.
Rebel, you there?
He was.
Oh, there you go. Hold on. I didn't hit the button. Go ahead, Rebel.
Okay. Yeah.
So that worked. You see that worked.
No, but I heard music on hold, though.
You heard? How do we have music on hold? How in the world do we have...
When you did whatever you did, I heard music.
Really? So we can make music on hold? Wow, we're learning a lot.
I guess. I don't know what kind of system you're using, but...
Well, it's custom built. We built it ourselves.
Yeah,
we made it out of hodgepodge.
We didn't put music on it. I know that macrame. Much. It's a phone. It's a phone that interfaces with our soundboard. That's all it is. How do you get music from that?
If you listen...
What kind of music was it? Can you tell us what was playing?
Instrumental.
Oh, yeah. Right, like Big Band.
Elmo's song? It sounds like Elmo's song.
You know, like music on hold type music.
Wow. We hit the big time. We have music on hold. My God.
Rebel, are you sure you don't just, like, hear that music in your head at all times?
Well, I don't hear that type of music in my head.
He has more of a house beat that's going on up there.
Yeah. Or a hip-hop beat.
Hip-hop, Rebel.
Let's see. So you have two lines. You have more than one line. Maybe you could take more than one phone call.
You are getting really personal about the phone lines right now. I would really appreciate if you just would take a beat.
Well, that's how things all do.
Okay, but our phone lines aren't the phone system, and maybe you should differentiate.
What's funny is we don't have call waiting on this line to start with because we don't want call waiting on this line. So I'm not sure what exactly you did, but you did prove that you can go to three-way and get back to the person who called you. So, theoretically, the star 70 should work.
Okay, but, all right. Let me demonstrate what happens when you call a certain 800 number.
Every time you do this, every time it doesn't work for one reason or another. You realize that, right?
So confident.
Okay, Rebel, you get one chance to get this right. One chance.
So,
hold on.
All right. I hope it works this time. I hope this works for him.
There's a lot of confidence in the way he...
Well, you have to have that confidence, Kyle, in order to just, you know, wake up in the morning. And... Okay, what do we have going on here?
This call may be recorded.
This call is being recorded. I can guarantee that.
This call may be on YouTube also.
Okay, it's ringing now. Yeah, I'm not going to speak, so I hope I'm not expected to.
But you can speak if you want.
I don't want to.
Hello?
Hello, what did I call? What is this?
Yeah, who is this?
Who is, what did I call? Emmanuel?
Why are you bringing me into this? Who is the person we're talking to?
I called an 800 number. I called a 900 number that called me. It's a scam.
It's a scam. You don't expect me to say that, do you? You don't expect me to say, oh, you called a scam. But, is he still there, or did you hang up?
No, I hung up. He hung up. Let me try it again.
Why would you try it again?
I don't know. It called me. Well, maybe...
They're going to call you again. Yeah. They're going to visit. All right, go ahead, Rebel. We'll just sit back and listen, but nobody say a word.
Okay.
Listing agent.
Something about a listing agent? I don't know. What's
she said
on?
Listing agent. That sounds pretty official. That sounds like something.
Hold on. Let's see what else. Let's see if I don't press anything.
Just watching the listeners drop off one by one.
We still have 39 watching.
Two by two now.
We got 41 watching now.
Rebel, I have the feeling that this is going nowhere.
Well, I don't know. Let's see something.
Rebel, I'm going to do something rare here. I'm going to make a suggestion to you. The number you called before, where you got the confused sounding person on the other end, if you can reach that number again, and this time when he answers, say, "I'm calling you back. You called me earlier. I'm calling you back."
Okay.
See what he says then. All right. This is your last demonstration here.
Okay.
Good luck.
Listing agent. This call may be recorded.
The phone number, Randall, are you there? I'm going off mic. Hello, I'm calling you back. You called me? And they didn't answer. Hold on.
Okay, no, that's it, Rebel. We're done here with this. Fascinating as this is, we do have other calls we have to get to. But I wish you luck with this, with tracking down your scammer or whatever it is.
Shall I give you the number?
Please don't. No, that's so unnecessary. But again, thank you. Keep us updated. And of course, you can update us on the chat as well. As long as you work within the boundaries of whatever rules are in place.
One of those called me and then they don't answer.
Yeah.
So, you know, they wait for the word hello or something. But I burped and it connected me with someone.
Gila, did you have something to contribute to this? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I don't have you up. Go ahead.
Real question from a listener, which is a hope question.
So question for us, not for Rebel.
Yes.
All right, Rebel, we're letting you go now. Goodbye. All right, Rebel's gone. Our phone number, 802-321-4225. Anybody else wants to call in? And please, what is the question?
The question is about hotel deals for Hope. Are those being announced soon?
Gosh, okay. I wasn't going to bring this up, but we have a hotel deal. It's a damn good hotel deal. We just have – it's not official. We don't have the link yet. And we have been trying, literally for weeks, to get the link from the right people. And we keep not connecting on the damn telephone. We've even had people visit. Okay. We are working on it. And, we're closer than we've ever been before. So there's that. It is a good deal for the hotel during the conference. Please be patient. I would be very surprised if we don't have something to announce within the next week. In fact, I'll be very angry if we don't have something to announce in the next week. So thanks for the interest. Please spread the word. All kinds of info for the Hope Conference can be found at hope.net. And what we really would like to see are more submissions for people who want to give talks or hold panels or all sorts of demonstrations. There's villages, there's workshops. We are seeing strong response as far as people interested in that. And all the instructions on how to do that are in the participate section of the website. Of course, we also want to see more people register to attend the conference so that we have more to work with and can reserve more rooms and can really make this a great conference. It's taking place July 12th through 14th at St. John's University. It's Hope XV, the 15th Hope Conference, and it's going to be really, really awesome. We have a lot going on, and we will have those hotel deals announced. We do have some existing ones right now, particularly the off-campus dorms. It's a really good deal. Now, when I say off-campus dorms, it's on the street that the university is on. It's down the road a little bit. It's maybe a 15-minute walk, or you can just hop on a bus and be there in no time. But I believe the rate is under $100 a night. And, to stay in New York City for that kind of price, yeah, you won't have a TV set in your room. It's a dormitory. But that shouldn't be too important to you. It's really, it's kind of like camping in a way, because you're going to a different place, you're staying in a different environment, and you're focused on the event. And that's what it should be all about. So we hope people experience that to the max. Go ahead.
You should have internet access in those facilities.
Absolutely.
Through our event infrastructure, so you won't be totally disconnected. And most TV and streaming is online one way or another.
It shouldn't
now.
Be about TV.
I don't think you need TV if you're trying to catch a talk and you're resting or taking a nap and you want to do it from one of these places.
Oh, you can watch.
We're offering. You will probably definitely be able to do that. And there's a call on the line.
We have the best streaming of any conference, I think. So yeah, if you're in a dorm, you could experience a conference from the dorm.
It will be ample. There are people working on the details of that at this very moment.
And if you can't make it to the conference but still want to support the conference, we have our digital attendee version as well, which is if you go to the website hope.net, you'll see how you can do that. And that helps us a lot. If people pay an admission fee for the digital version from wherever they are in the world, that also gives us funds that we can apply to the conference and do all kinds of cool things.
Oh, yeah. Please look into that, especially if you're hosting like a watch party or you're getting together at a hackerspace and you want to be able to have your household or your club participate in question and answer or be directed to some of the goings on virtually, or just have, you know, all the information and reliable links. You know, you'll be all set as far as sharing what access you have with other people and getting more involvement, especially if you're in a remote place that people aren't traveling or you can't otherwise make it yourself. Please participate that way and get as many of those people that are in the same position connected that way, because we will offer unique access and just ways to interact in a virtual way. So we really want to make sure that people are aware of that option.
All right. We have a caller on the line. Good evening. You're on Off Talk Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, it's me.
It's you. Yes. Go ahead.
Great. Well, first of all, I'd like to give you a technical tip. Why don't you give out the 833 number that I just called? When you call the other number, you get Google Mail that doesn't believe in busy signals, etc., etc., and you get the rigmarole, and you basically have to call back.
Well, don't you get the same thing on this number? I mean, it goes to the same number, so you should get the same exact thing.
It might, but I just always get through this number, and it's your choice. You do what you want.
Well, I don't have that memorized, but since you just called it, why don't you tell the people the phone number, and then
okay, all right. So that number is 833-75.
Not so easy, is it?
I think it's 755-2600.
Okay. All right. We're taking your word on that.
Okay. Now, just for the record, Canada is bilingual. You just look at the money, and one side is printed in French, the other one is printed in English.
Yeah, I think we all know that. It's just one province is officially bilingual, and that's New Brunswick.
No, it's the whole country is officially bilingual. They use English in most of the country, and out of Quebec, you will not find, except, you know, other places that you mentioned, places where they speak French as a first language, but the whole country is technically bilingual, meaning officially. But, you know, I didn't call to have an argument about this. I would like to commend you, first of all, for a great show that started on the radio. And, you know, the radio, sadly, has probably as many listeners, if not less, than this show right now. And, you know, we can go into why and how is that happening, but I want to tell you a story. 1 year I had made good money, let's say, and I used the New York Public Library a lot. When I go to the shelves, there is no sheet in between the books that tells me that they need money, but it's a good institution. It does good work. I had extra cash. I said, here is $200, and I gave it anonymously on one of those checks that don't have your address printed on, you know, when you start a new bank account. Purposely, I say, don't send me any promotional material. This is not going to happen again, most likely. What did they do? They tracked me down. They sent me lots of promotional material. I never gave them another penny. Now, I may be unusual in my giving trends, let's just say. But, you know, I believe that if something is worth supporting, all you need to say it is once. If WBAI keeps telling you 1,000 times a day that you need money, something is wrong there, and it's not with the listeners who are not giving money. Another thing I would like to broach, and I just had a brainwave while I was waiting for you to get my call. I am a visual artist, and I do interactive stuff. And I have been working on this show. I basically hacked consumerism by not buying almost anything except for food. I source my, you know, I furnish my home. I dress myself. Everything that you could possibly imagine, I find on the streets of New York and other public places for the last 20 years. And I have so much surplus that I want to do a show. It's called Scavenger's Hunt Boutique. And I will just give it away as a way for people to reflect upon the fact that, you know, when you're in New York City, everybody, well, not everybody, but most people, you know, if you're a have, if you have a home, you don't think of picking up stuff because, oh my God, the germs, the whatevers. And, you know, I observed homeless people and I see that they still manage to live. This was 20 years ago. And I said, wow, I wonder what would happen if I pick up perfectly fine things that people just accidentally drop off. And that's my life. And I thought, wouldn't that be a nice thing to do at the Hope Conference?
Okay.
Would you be interested in doing something like that?
Well, I mean, how would it work exactly?
I would bring all my stuff in boxes, open it up, and people can take what they want.
Okay, but we have no idea what's
in
those boxes.
You, it's all prime stuff in excellent condition. You know, if it's not, if it wasn't brand new, when I found it, I disinfected it and cleaned it on my own.
Uh-huh. And what kind of stuff are we talking about here? You know?
Mostly clothing, shoes. In good conditions, not, you know, nothing worn or
I'm not sure people are coming to hacker conventions to get clothing and shoes. I think that's something that definitely, a thrift shop would definitely jump on, or there's a number of places
not
in
really.
The city.
You know, the idea is not to do a thrift shop, or, you know, I could leave it on the street where I found it, but it would be completely defeating the purpose of doing a cultural event, and that's why, you know, I said, it doesn't have to, and if you want, you can, you know, if you change your mind or somehow it resonates, you can call me back because you have my number, you know, the 833 numbers, all the toll numbers, keep a record of all the numbers that call, so for billing purposes, as far as I know. And yes, by the way, the Star 70 thing, I had exactly that set up on a landline, which I still have. This is technically a landline that I'm calling you on. And it's exactly like you described it the first time. If you have three-way calling, you go on the other line, and you do the star 70, and you exclude any call waiting. And I think I've taken enough of your time, and thank you for the only interesting program left on BAI. I do listen to Democracy Now! Headlines the first 10 minutes, and then I switch it off. But that's about pretty much all I listen to.
Listen to the golden age of radio on Sunday nights. That's always fun.
I do listen late at night to the Gene Shepherds.
See?
Yes. But, you know, occasionally, you know, because sometimes he gets angry or like last night the sound was unbearable and I turned it off in spite of my liking.
Who gets angry?
You know,
Gene Shepherd gets angry?
Actually invented freeform radio.
Yeah, he certainly did. He was on WOR for a while. But, okay, thanks for the compliment, and hopefully there are
thank
more
you.
Good shows on BAI. Hopefully there will be more in the future. But keep listening, and we'll see you in the future.
Okay, keep up the good work.
All right,
thank you.
Take care. And our phone number, 802-321-4225, if anyone else is out there. We have time, I think, for one more call. Anything to report from the chat, Gila?
Just a couple of quick things, which is that information about the dorms and the specificity of what is available there is available on the Hope website. That's hope.net. Click on lodging. All the information is there. And one of our listeners was saying they have Airbnb information. I don't know if, like, you operate Airbnbs in the area, which I don't know if that's completely legal in New York, or you just know about them. If you want to email the conference staff, that is an availability.
That's actually a really good option, and a number of people took advantage of that 2 years ago. Renting out an entire house for the weekend with a bunch of people was a lot of fun. It was very close by, and you can just, you know, make your own schedule. So there's all kinds of different options. There's dorms, there's hotels, there's Airbnb.
I actually heard that was a pretty affordable way to come up with lodging for the 3 nights or 4 nights that a group of you might want to be nearby but not on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, read into that what you will. Maybe you want to have a private gathering. Maybe you want to just get away from the whole event, or you have a family or a couple people, a couple different households that are going to make a big rental, a way they deal with that. So, yeah, I mean, that may have changed. I don't know. I don't know anything about renting through these apps. I don't really do that. But if that's something that you're pretty savvy with, I urge you to check that out, because I do know that there were attendees and volunteers that really had a good time doing that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes.
Did we have another phone call?
Yes.
And was there anything else, Gail?
No, that pretty much covers it. Just as a reminder to everybody listening, all the information about HOPE, everything that is known, probably some things that are not, is available at the website, which is at hope.net.
And, yes, there's a lot more information than you want. What I mean by that is, you know, we've basically figured out how to get to the conference from virtually any major train station or bus station or airport. And it looks like a whole lot of directions, but it's basically directions for every possibility. So you can see how straightforward it is to get there. And even if you're driving, we have free parking, which, you know, New York City, free parking. Think about that. So it's just an incredible amount of options.
I heard there was going to be some kind of vehicle selling coffee, which I'm interested in.
Okay, well,
I don't know if we're actually going to get to that.
I don't know about that, but I'm sure we're going to have all kinds of options.
Well, I guess the university has coffee if we need that. But there will be lots of caffeinated options and uncaffeinated options.
Yes, yes.
Because people really wanted a lot of options for that close by, because it is a big campus. There is some walking, whether you're going from a parking facility or bus stop, transit hubs. So wear good footwear and make sure you're hydrated.
And we'll have all the accessible options listed as well. I think they're already listed on our website, but we're going to keep an eye out for that for people who can't get around as easily. We certainly have abilities to make sure they are able to be a part of the conference as much as anyone else. We have a phone call, right?
Yes, they're there.
Okay, good evening. You're on Off the Cuff Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm calling from the Bronx. And I have 2 points to cover. One is that I don't have a smartphone because I'm concerned about the privacy implications of what happens when you have a smartphone.
Okay. Fair enough.
The other point is, if you're already a WBA buddy in the name of Off the Hook, does that count every month towards the amount that you have to make for Off the Hook?
I can't speak for them, but I think the way it works is when you make the donation, the total amount for the year is what counts, and obviously they only do that once.
So if you're already WBA, but it's part of it? Because you have to have made the donation during during the year?
I think everything starts fresh as of the beginning of March. So this month, we're at zero. We need to move that to 350 one way or another. If that's somebody pledging a monthly amount, we total up what they pledge in a year. Or if somebody is pledging one amount, you know, in one pledge, then we add that. But we just have to get to 350 by the end of the month.
350 more than you were already making, including buddies that already are there.
You know, it's a good question. I don't know if I think since they count the total of the BAI buddy, I believe this is how they do it for the year. They will have already counted that in the past, so I don't think that would count from March going forward. I can ask about that. I might be wrong, but that's how I believe it works.
So, okay, thank you.
Sure. Anything else?
Well, I could possibly think of something else to say, but right now I don't have anything.
Okay, well, thanks for calling and thanks for your support.
Yes.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Yes.
So you're telling me
uh-huh.
that if randomly there are BAI buddies, particularly listeners of Off the Hook who are BAI buddies, say there's 12 months of that 12 months, there are like, there's a month there where the highest number of those buddies started their donation year for a year at whatever rate.
Mm-hmm.
There, you're saying a given month could have like whatever n number of buddies with like their annual amount hit all at once. So we have like a big spike in whatever that month is where, you know, all these buddies are tabulated, and there are other months where there's maybe
less. I don't know how it works. I really don't. I'm just guessing. But I assume what they do is they count it when the pledge is made. So they've counted the pledges that are made in the past already, and that's the past. What we're talking about is the future and the present, which has done, we don't have anything yet because we haven't started yet.
All right.
I don't know how else to do it. Does that make sense?
You know? Yeah, I was just trying to rephrase what the caller was asking, because it's like you said, it's a fair question.
They pledged in the past.
Right.
Probably, let's say they pledged in January. Okay, if we had the 350 plateau that we had to reach in January, then that would apply to that. But since this is March, we're starting at zero.
Well, what if it was June?
Well, June hasn't happened yet.
No. It was June of last year. They signed up. They're a buddy all year, $5 or whatever it is per month.
Uh-huh.
And it was tabulated in June.
We've gotten a $60 credit
in June. They're still paying $5 this month. Does it count this month?
No, it would have counted in June. It would have been $60 in June for the year. Again, I'm just theorizing that's how it works. I might be completely wrong. Maybe they do it every month. Well, I guess we have to make a phone call to them and ask.
Maybe this caller knows.
I doubt it. And,
all right, forget it.
Why would you put that on them? All right, last call. Good evening. Take here on Off the Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, I was called on this number.
You know what? I'm going to refute what I said and say one more phone call. That's not Rebel. And Rebel, if we catch you doing that again, you will be barred from next week's phone calls. So keep that in mind before you start dialing again. 802-321-4225.
Didn't he sound like some kind of spirit that lived in, like, the base of a tree in, like, a mystical land?
It's not so mystical.
That's what that voice was. Yeah. That's what it was for me.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to your voice.
Magical world out there. We know.
Be good at changing voices if you're going to do that. That's my advice. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. I hear the phone ringing, and let's see who it is. Good evening. Good evening. You're on Off the Go Time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something really quick to the gentleman who called earlier. He said he has this hobby where he picks up things and valuable things in New York City, stuff
uh-huh.
like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think what he should do, I mean, that's not a good thing for Hope, but I think that's a great idea for like a YouTube channel. I think what he should do, if I were him, he should start a YouTube channel where he finds valuable things in New York City and either donate some or put some to good use. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff to be found in the street or whatever, and I bet he's going to have loads of subscribers. That's what he ought to do. I thought that's what he was about to say when he started talking, but I think it'll make a good YouTube show where he just finds things in the street, finds valuable things in the street, and he just either donates them or puts them to use. There's a lot of valuable things thrown away in New York City, so if he's listening, I think he should consider doing that.
Good idea. Good idea.
Yeah, there's tons. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's all I really have to say. I just want to call and say that.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, no, I'm reacting. Thanks for the call. And, there's things that this caller was doing that were specifically, like,
anti-consumer, or just sort of their angle was they were sort of hacking by not purchasing things that were not for sustenance. And that's a great concept. I'm sure there's tons of people that do this. And I was even thinking, just as you were saying, like, in accompanying the YouTube channel, we had a story earlier about government auctions, but they could be doing like an online auction in conjunction with that, and then taking the proceeds and putting it towards a cause they're maybe passionate about, or that would help, I don't know, people that are seeking housing, or that don't have certain items that they need, or other things to keep the streets clean. So anyway, that's a great concept, and people sometimes need help with that. There's a lot of like effort and production that goes into that kind of thing, but
yeah,
you just gotta
be doing it for 20 years. So he must really love doing it.
Yeah, really, really. Maybe there's people that might be able to document it so that he can keep doing what he's passionate about, but isn't feeling like they're stretched. But
yeah,
takes a little creativity, but it's right there.
All right, thanks. I enjoyed the show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Take care. And that's going to do it for our calls tonight. That's going to do it for us tonight. Any final words from anybody?
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for continuing to invite us into your various media induction devices. And thanks for continuing to show your support at give2wbai.org for what we do on this program, on this station, on this network, and just everything that keeps us going.
And if you do want to participate in the Hope Conference in one way or another, just click on the Participate tab on hope.net, and excuse me, and that'll give you the appropriate email address to send your ideas to, and someone will get back to you.
Keep sharing, keep discussing things. Please write us oth@2600.com. You can also watch some of the other Hope Conference subjects here on Channel 2600. On YouTube, this fantastic place.
All 14 Hopes are here.
All of the information that has been distributed from those events over the years and through time, through whatever Lightwave or data crystal you're using in the future, it all came from people discussing things, keeping their ear to the ground, observing what's around them, and sharing it. So thanks for doing that. Please be active, be deliberate out there too. This frivolousness, the sort of apathy, it's not worthwhile. It's not as worthwhile as all of you doing what you do best. We're going to keep doing what we do, and thanks for all of your listening and contributions. Keep them coming is what I'm saying. You know, be in action. It's so needed, and no matter what you're going through, other people are as well. So every little thing you can muster, it makes a difference. It matters, and we want you to know that you do too.
Aw, what a nice sentiment to end on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Gila, go ahead.
Thank you to the 42 people who have hung with us throughout this evening. Thank you again for sharing. I love this community we have living in the live chat. Also, for everybody who's in New York City with us, stay warm and dry. This has been a sucky couple of days weather-wise, and we hope you're all doing okay.
All right. We will see you back next week, 7 p.m. on WBAI, 8 o'clock here on YouTube. And have a great week. Good night.